Hello, Internet. My name is Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And last week, as I said, we've opened Pandora's box. I was worried about reviewing something non-topical on the podcast. And, Matt, what have we done?
Yes, we are now a very timely podcast because I hear it's just dropped on iTunes. And,
No one's going to the cinema anymore anyway. We've timed it just perfectly for all those people that are watching things on iTunes and then want to listen to a podcast about said film.
Yeah, although we're not trying to tread on the toes of another great podcast, the Redbox Report.
We're not getting invited back on the Redbox Report.
Try to stick to reviewing movies generally as they're released in the cinemas, but this is one I saw when it came out. I actually went to the premiere in Sydney of this movie and have a few stories to tell from that.
Very cool.
Maybe for later, but we're doing Baby Driver.
Baby Driver. Yes, I know you wanted to talk about it when you saw the film, and a lot of people have been asking me, have you seen Baby Driver? Have you seen Baby Driver? Are you going to do a Baby Driver podcast? So I thought, you know what? We made an exception for MTV. I'll make an exception for Baby Driver, because this is something people want to seem to talk about. They want to hear the hear our opinions on Baby Driver.
And I think we should open with, Jonathan, you said you had a random fact about Baby Driver in our pre-production meeting, and I am curious as to what this random fact is and how impressed I'll be by it.
Yeah, I'm sure people are on the edge of their seats. They'll be even more intrigued, enticed to know that this is to do with numbers. One of my...
Okay.
Everyone loves a good statistic. I just thought this was kind of odd. Before the podcast, we were talking, and Moonrise Kingdom came up, a Screen Verdict Award winner for best film. Was that best film of 2012?
Moonrise.
Yeah.
Moonrise Kingdom. Oh, sorry. I thought you said Moonlight. I thought you said Moonlight.
Moonrise Kingdom.
Yes, Moonlight, another Screen Verdict Award winner for actor. Moonrise Kingdom, what was the question? Now I've forgotten, because I was wrong.
Anyway, I'm pretty sure it won the SV for Best Film of 2012.
It won Best Picture, won Best Film, and it won Best Actress for Cara Hayward. One of the only movies to have won two awards from the Screen Verdict Awards.
Well, let me see if you think this is an omen. Because I pulled up, I Googled Baby Driver, and I saw, Google gives you that kind of information on the right-hand side, like the IMDb score, the Rotten Tomatoes score, and the Roger Ebert score. And it had a 7.8 out of 10 on IMDb, 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 3.5 out of 4 from Roger Ebert. I thought, hang on, that sounds familiar. 2 minutes ago, I was just looking at Moonrise Kingdom, and it had 7.8 out of 10 on IMDb, 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 3.5 out of 4 from Roger Ebert.
Whoa! So those guys just phoning it in and copying their reviews.
So, yeah, if there's no originality in Hollywood, it seems like that applies to the critics, the industry of reviews as well. So I thought... Well, is that a sign? Are we expecting Baby Driver to be on the same level as Moonrise Kingdom? Am I going to give it an 8.5? Are you going to give it a 9?
Boy.
Could I have just spoiled our screen verdict for this week's podcast?
I feel like now it's hard for me to get that out of my head when I'm making the review.
Did you not already have a number in mind?
I did, actually.
All right. Well, I'll trust.
So now I feel like I sort of have to stick with that. Otherwise, it'll be But anyway.
Right. Well, I'll trust you. With what you were, if you tell me that was your original score. But anyway, I just thought that was an interesting coincidence So we'll see. Perhaps Baby Driver, a screen verdict award for 2017. We'll find out.
Yes. So, okay, Baby Driver. Should I talk about my experience at the premiere now? Or do we want that later, sort of like an end thing? I don't really mind.
Yeah, no. Let's hear about the premiere. It sounds good.
Okay. Well, I heard there was a premiere in Sydney, and Edgar Wright, Ansel Elgort is the main guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and who's the actress again? Lily James.
Yeah. Let's see. There's a Lily James on the poster, so.
Yeah. That's her.
Let's go.
they were all going to be in town for it. So I thought, this will be a good event to cover. The two main actors and Edgar Wright all walking the red carpet.
Because some of these international events, they just send, like, you know, the assistant director, an associate producer. But no, they've sent the stars.
Yeah. So I'm on the red carpet covering the event for Gold Derby. They have put me next to the Adelaide University Film Society.
Which not only gets less readers than Gold Derby, but also less listeners than Screen Verdict.
Yeah. So I'm put there on the red carpet, waiting for stars to arrive. Girl running the carpet comes up to us and goes, look, there's a lot of press here. What we're going to do is, you might not get an interview, but we do it in clumps. We'll sort of come up to you in a clump, and then just sort of like, you can all just record the same thing. Which, never been on a red carpet where this is how it was managed. Just, hey, just get a clump going, like, just hold out your recording thing, just get what you can.
And then you can take that back to Gold Derby and they can post that. It's like, guys, listeners, readers, we've got a semi-exclusive interview for you.
Yeah. You got the Adelaide Film Society, Gold Derby, having to share an exclusive. So anyway, then the stars arrive. Bit of a shambles. They got the, I don't know, one of the guys who used to host Australian Idol or something, who now does the event cinemas, like, TV show that you watch while you're waiting, like, waiting in the queue for the candy bar. He's doing his thing. So they pull over the stars to do an interview with him, and they go back to the red carpet. But they're really, like, they get their photographs, and they do their interview with him, and then they really devote like 10 minutes to trying to cover the like 50 press that are there. So it's a shambles. Then there's fans on the other side that are wanting autographs. When Lily James is walking past, there's a guy with a poster that looks, if she walks past him, and you can just see he looks visibly distressed that she has not signed his poster. So it's like the worst, like, moment in his life, this guy. She eventually goes back and signs his post. But anyway, long story short, did not get an interview with anyone. They didn't even do our clump. So our clump even got snubbed. It was perhaps the worst red carpet I've ever covered. Like,
wow.
Yeah. So that was my experience.
So where'd you get your apology? Where did you lodge your complaint?
I just went to my friend Bass's, like, after having a dinner or something, and said, okay, I'm leaving.
I'm going to see you, like, you weren't even invited either. Like, you just go over, just, like, kick open the door. You guys won't believe this red carpet. And they're like, oh, Matt, we're just in the middle of dinner. You're like, our whole clump got snubbed.
And they're like, what's a clump? I'm like, exactly.
That's what I said.
Yeah, yeah. So I had not a great, I got some photos. Maybe I should, because obviously none of this is usable for Gold Derby. Maybe on our Screen Go to Facebook page, I can post some of the pics I got.
Some long distance, digitally zoomed in with your iPhone over the shoulder of Ansel.
yeah, exactly. So, anyway, look, I'm calling this, if you've been flown out, to promote a movie, I get stars not wanting to get hassled on their holidays and stuff, but this is a working trip. I think more time should be made for the press. Anyway, it's my little gripe. Just so I know, covered a Stranger Things event in Sydney last week. There were no stars at it, which may have helped, but I was very well looked after. The guy running the event, a lady came up to me. She said, okay, you're from Gold Derby. I'm going to look after you for the day. If you need anything, just come and let me know. Very good.
You got the Netflix treatment. If they can afford to pay Jerry Seinfeld $100 million for a stand-up special of old material, they can take care of the media at these events. That's good. I like to hear it.
Yeah, but no, the Baby Driver thing shambles, absolute shambles. But I won't let that colour what I think of the film.
Yeah, well, we've had a good omen in the Moonrise Kingdom similarities, and we have a bad omen with the premiere experiences. So now we have no idea what to expect.
Yeah, but maybe something that would give us an idea is what we think about Edgar Wright, the director of the film. He has famously directed the Cornetto trilogy.
Yes, he directed Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and is it The World's End? Is that part of the third one in the trilogy?
I think so.
He directed those three, as well as Scott Pilgrim versus the World, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And now, I think it was right, sort of right in kind of like, we're of that generation, right? We go, you know, people say, oh, this is what we were watching when we were young and had an idea of what was cool. Well, this is what we'll be talking about, I reckon, 20, 30 years from now. Shaun of the Dead came out 2004, Hot Fuzz came out 2007, and I reckon those are just two of the funniest movies of, I don't know, this century. I think they hold up really well. They were really funny when I was, 16 or whatever, and they're still funny now. I've watched both of them, four, five, six times.
Hot Fuzz is probably my favourite, to be honest. I really liked that.
Yeah, that's just a staple. You know when, you're at someone's house and kind of, the activity for the evening has died down or whatever, and they're like, oh, let's throw in a movie. And, usually I'm, not keen for something that I've already seen a bunch of times, but that's the kind of one where it's like, oh, you got Hot Fuzz? Oh, yeah, throw that in. I'll watch Hot Fuzz again for sure.
Yeah, I like it.
So big fans of those. Scott Pilgrim I thought was okay. The World's End I thought was okay. So perhaps a slight downward trend. So I'm hoping that Baby Driver's a return to form as opposed to continuing that slide.
Yeah, I feel like Scott Pilgrim came out at the same time as Kick-Ass. Or a very similar sort of time. They both sort of seem comic book type, colourful films. And I feel like my expectations of Scott Pilgrim were far greater than Kick-Ass, but I actually prefer Kick-Ass.
Yes, if you'd asked me beforehand what would I think I would enjoy more based on the description, I would have picked Scott Pilgrim. And while it certainly wasn't bad, I agree. Kick-Ass is my preferred film.
Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. Edgar Wright coming back. I really like Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz as well, and particularly Hot Fuzz. I just remember watching it the first time. I like that it's a mystery, and it's a bit of a slow burn, and then it just goes really insane in the end, and I really like that sort of pacing.
Yes. It's fun to watch back, sort of seeing that unfold when you know all the little twists and turns that it's going to take.
Yeah. often complain about movies being too long. Hot Fuzz is a fairly long film, but I think it is good that it's long.
I'm going to look up how long Hot Fuzz is, because I don't think you've ever said that about a film that's over 2 hours long.
Yeah. Like, you could maybe cut out 5 or 10 minutes. It's a pretty... I actually like that it's slower at the beginning before it really picks up. I think that makes it more hilarious when it does, when things do fly off the rails.
All right, this is the running time for Hot Fuzz.
I reckon it's 2 hours, 12 minutes is my prediction.
You're not far off. 2 hours, 1 minute.
Oh, okay.
So, there you go. Pretty tight. You could make, Matt still thinks you could maybe trim one or two. but pretty close. About.
anyway,
let's review Baby Driver. We're here to talk about Baby Driver, a film that's only an hour and 53 minutes long. So,
I was not scared off by that film. Like,
yeah, you think? Oh, I can. I'm pretty sure I can make it to the end of this. I probably won't fall asleep.
Yeah, I didn't fall asleep in Baby Driver, I don't think, so that's a good sign.
Spoiler alert, Matt made it through Baby Driver. okay, so Baby Driver. I was told about the premise for this. It's about a getaway driver for these criminals that rob banks or various establishments. And his kind of unique thing is that he loves music. He's always listening to music. I thought, I feel like I've seen this before. Like, Matt, did this ring any bells for you?
Are you thinking of the movie Drive?
I am thinking about the movie Drive.
I couldn't remember whether that guy liked listening to music.
Well, that's the...
this must be what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, so in Baby Driver, it's kind of, it's... acknowledged in the film, he has his mixtapes and he's always got his iPod earbuds in, and people are asking, why are you listening to music all the time? So it's actually acknowledged within the film's world. Whereas in Drive, he just kind of plays music a lot, and like the soundtrack kind of plays a big role in the film, but it's not actually acknowledged. But there's a funny story about how that film got made. Ryan Gosling went to meet the director, Nicholas Winding Refn, and he said it went terribly. So it was the worst meeting he's ever had. They weren't on the same page. They didn't want to make the movie with each other. And as they're leaving, Nicholas Winding Refn says, "Oh, can I get a ride?" And like Ryan Gosling's like, "Are you serious? Like, like we did have this terrible meeting. I don't want to get a ride with you, but okay." So they get in the car together, and this song comes on. I can't remember the song. But he just starts singing along with it, and he just starts belting it out to the point where he's got, like, tears streaming down his face. And Ryan Gosling's like, what the hell is going on? Like, who is this guy? And then Nicholas says, he goes, that's it. That's the movie. It's about a guy driving around L.A. who listens to pop music. And Ryan Gosling's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Like, and then from there, they ended up getting on the same page of making Drive, one of my favorite films of all time. So when people said to me, this is the premise, I'd say, oh, that sounds like Drive. And everyone's like, no, nah, it's nothing like Drive. I was like, what do you mean it's not like Drive? So I had to see for myself by watching Baby Driver.
Okay. This is interesting. Like, I guess that anecdote has made me think. If you are like, if you're like a girl or a guy and you've like, I don't know, you're wanting to sort of get them to like you or ask them out or something, so you take them out to dinner or lunch or something like that. Or I think even in the case of, like, I don't know, some job opportunity that you go, but something where you want, like, you've got a meeting that you're wanting to go well and it hasn't gone well for whatever reason. Is this a good move asking for a ride home? It's a bit desperate. But if you're already in the position where you've sort of shot yourself in the foot or it hasn't gone well, it at least buys you another 30 minutes to turn it around. Like, it's sort of the Hail Mary. Look, if I ask them for a lift, it's going to be a bit awkward, but I do have another 30 minutes to say something do something, like, probably say something, like, more than do something in a car, but, like, like, change the way they think about me. Is this a good move? I like this, actually.
Do you feel like you perform best when the stakes are at the highest? Like, the game is truly on the line?
I think so. You sort of got nothing to lose, point. And also, yeah, like, I also think, like, well, it's not even performing best. It's like, look, if they leave now, it's over. But if they give me a lift home or a lift to the wherever, I've got 30 minutes that I can say something that might keep it alive.
Yeah. Can deep in the fourth quarter, you could just take a knee and let the clock run out, or you could just throw up that Hail Mary.
Yeah. You don't ever have a football team that, like, at the end of the third quarter, they're losing by a lot, and they just give up that fourth, like, oh, let's not go out for the fourth quarter. We can't really win it at this point. You go out and play the fourth quarter. This is sort of like what Nicholas Winding Refn did, was buy himself a fifth quarter.
Are you the kind of fan that stays to the end of every game? Like, you know, some people are like, oh, mate, we're getting smashed. Like, let's just leave early. Let's, like, beat the traffic or whatever. But you're like, nah, I'm into the end. You never know until the final second that it's over.
I'm a bit like that unless I don't really care about the sport or the team.
Unless someone gave you, like, free tickets to, like, the Bondi beach ball tournament. Yeah. I mean, beach volleyball tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but if it's my team and, like, you know, I'm invested, then, yeah, stay in the sea, you stay at the end of the game.
Come on, you Swans.
Yeah. I think it also, like, you know, in sport, like, if you're 10 goals down in soccer with 5 minutes to go, you can't physically score.
You never know, Matt. You never know until the final second that it's over.
I think baseball's probably a good analogy where, like, you know, you could win until the very end. Don't give up on your team in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, something like tennis, you have to win that final point. Baseball, you have to get that final out. Whereas, I guess you could say it's perhaps somehow possible, but not really possible if you're down by, in football, you're down by 30 points with 10 seconds to go or something. Whatever, you're not going to be able to make it up. You can run out the clock.
I wouldn't leave a tennis game or a baseball game until the last pitch or the last point.
It's like, yeah, if he wins the next 3 points and then breaks and then holds serves and then wins the next 2 sets after that, he can still come back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Well.
So baby driver.
It is like, well, the premise is like Drive, but it's very different in terms of tone and execution. I still think the people that I said that to should have acknowledged the similarity, because I feel like everybody tried to, like, turn me down, like, say, no, that's not a good comparison, or the premise is not similar. But I mean, I stand by my my reaction, my perception that the premise is similar.
I think they're different, like, I think they're different. The tone is very different with these two films. Like, maybe your emotional response is different. But, yeah, I see the parallels. I think that was a reasonable parallel to make.
All right. So, those are some good comparisons. Moonrise Kingdom, Drive. The expectations come back up again.
And when we saw Drive, I think together. Did we say together? I think we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't drive at that point, but when I saw Baby Driver, I now can drive. So, I mean, I can relate to the...
you watch Drive and you're like, I just couldn't relate to the character, the driver. 7 out of 10. Now you watch Baby Drive and you're like, oh, loved it. So relatable, like driving. Like, I totally get it, you know, with the steering wheel and the pedals. 9 out of 10.
Yeah, maybe why I preferred Cars 3 to Cars
2. Oh, man. Well, you'll have to go back. You'll have to rewatch. unluckily for you, you'll have to go back and rewatch Cars 2.
I thought you were about to go dry.
All right. So how we thought we'd talk about Baby Driver is because it's a lot goes on, a lot of twists and turns, fast paced. Yeah, we'll talk about it at some point. No, rather than talking about the plot, because it is pretty detailed and fast-paced, and we don't just want to recap the story, maybe go over some of the characters or maybe some of our favourite moments and just pinpoint what we liked or thought didn't work as well in the film. So, Matt, let's kick it off with the lead character, Baby. What did you think about Baby?
Like Baby, Ray-Bans and Wayfair. I'm not sure if they're Ray. Are they Ray-Ban brand?
I think so. Let me see if I can find. Wayfair is like a style. I think you can get Ray-Ban Wayfarers.
Wayfarers and earbuds. Love the look. These like two things, and I that's really cool. And I was definitely the week after Baby Driver walking around with my earbuds in. And my Wayfair is on by going in. Well, I'm just like that guy, Baby Driver.
Let me see. Look, doesn't look like they're Ray. They might be Ray-Bans, but they probably scratched off the Ray-Ban logo so they didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah. Because Ray-Bans didn't agree to pay them for it. So like, look, we're not chucking you a freebie, yeah. Ray-Bans. Yeah. So, I thought it really cool. I loved the look. I thought it was like he drove, which was cool. What did you think?
I thought he was very cool. I thought, as far as I know, let me see. Has he done a lot before? I didn't really recognize him. I think maybe he's in.
I believe, in The Fault in Our Stars. That's yeah. Sort of his big role before this.
Apparently he was in Divergent.
Divergent, yeah.
Let me see. I didn't see any of the... Let me see how far his name is down the list, and we'll...
Okay. I think he's one of the main guys in Divergent.
Let's see. It refers to him as supporting... Anyway, the point I was going to make, maybe he's well known, but I didn't know him. And I like the fact that I didn't know him because he kind of plays like a mysterious character. I mean, if it had been, say, Michael Cera or someone, it's not even, similar type, not quite, but anyway, I feel like perhaps some of that mystery would have been lost because Michael Cera most likely isn't going to play a bad guy. Whereas this guy you like, but you don't know if there's something, you know, underneath that, whether it's going to be revealed whether or not he really is a good guy. So I like that. He was, like, cool but kind of mysterious.
Yeah. And you don't know exactly everything. Like, you find out stuff about his backstory as the film progresses, which I liked. It is an interesting story. He orders, like, so his name's Baby, right, which they make a big thing out of in the show, and he orders coffee with the name Baby, right? And, like, there's this really cool scene where he gets the coffee, and it's just, like, one really long sort of tracking shot, like, or perfectly, well, not one long tracking shot, but it's edited perfectly with the music and stuff. It's really cool. And, like, you know, the sort of scene where you go, Baby, and, like, he takes the coffee and walks off. So we went, after I saw the movie, Chris... Jess Jones from the podcast and our friend Will, we went to get coffee after the movie from Starbucks, and the guy asked for my name, and I said, Baby. I thought, oh yeah, this would be cool. I just saw the movie. This is a cool move. So I ordered Baby, like, okay, cool. No reaction. New Baby Driver. So then I'm waiting, and I hear like someone goes like Matt. I was like, turn to Jess. I'm like, well, I'm calling Matt. Like, I didn't give him that name. They wouldn't know. And she's like, no, no, he said Bab. And I'm like, oh. And then I just like look at him and he goes, oh, baby? I'm like, yeah, thanks.
What, like, a strange series of, like, events does it have to get from, like, baby to Matt?
Yeah.
Like, the fact that the fact that you happen to be named Matt. Well, I mean, I guess you just said, like, Bab. That kind of, like, short at sound. I guess, like, you hear Matt because that's, like, what your subconscious, like, you're used to hearing. But he didn't actually, he said Bab, which was, like, I don't know, he misread baby or something?
Yeah, the Y was a bit, I could post on, maybe I'll make a little baby driver out. I could post, I took a photo of the cut, but the Y wasn't written very well.
So it wasn't as satisfying as you'd hoped. It was
it wasn't as cool as the movie.
It didn't make you feel like baby. It made you feel like Matt. And the only person, Matt, the only guy in on the joke.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I liked Baby. I like Baby a lot. I as you said, you kind of learn more about him, and I did sort of like it because he seems like a good guy. So you wonder, you know, how did he get involved in all of this? And I like how you kind of get pieces of that as it kind of works backwards as the story progresses. So I liked how they kind of they weaved that in.
Yes. No, I agree. I think that's really cool.
I think next time we're at a Halloween event together, I've got to go as driver and you've got to go as baby driver.
I like that. I might have to go clean shaven though.
That's true.
But I do like that. I think it needs to be next year though, because it would be too far removed from the movie, right? If it's, that would have been a good this year costume probably.
Well, if depending on our reviews, perhaps we think it's they're both instant classics. It'll hold up.
Aye.
also the price of that Scorpion jacket's probably come down by now. I can probably afford it.
Stretching, I'll spend this week scratching all the Ray-Ban logos off my Wayfair.
I paid like $200 for these glasses, $180 of which was for that logo, and now I'm scratching it off. You're like, Jono, like this costume better go down well, mate. So we like Baby. We're rooting for Baby.
Baby, big time.
I guess it may be obvious at this point, but just in case the listeners don't know, because Baby Driver's been out for a while, we are going to discuss some spoilers. So we'll give you a quick spoiler alert. Spoiler alert! Oh man, it's the cops! The cops are coming for us, man! I hear the sirens. Time to get away. Drive, baby, drive.
Baby, come on, baby.
All right, so we like Baby. Who does Baby like?
A waitress.
Waitress. Lily James. What's the name of her character?
Susie.
Deborah.
Deborah. Yeah. There's we should really know her name. There's like 10 songs with her name in the movie.
Yeah, that's kind of how they bond. They talk about songs that have her name in it, and she's like, "Well, you win that by far. There's a million songs about Baby."
Yeah.
Is that a good move? Like, if you met a girl, like, I know, like her name's, I don't know, Sarah or something. You're like, "Oh, Sarah. That Bob Dylan song, you know, Sarah."
What's the Bob Dylan song?
I think he has a song just called Sarah.
Oh, okay, cool.
I didn't even plan that. I just thought of Because that's my thing. I guess that's my point. Like, is it a good strategy? Because for most common names off the top of your head, or you could, like, practice beforehand, have a list. Have a note in your iPhone. But just, like, names which are used in songs. Do you reckon that's, like, a good good sort of, like, conversation piece?
I feel like if it's really obvious, it's probably not good because it probably comes up all the time, right?
Yeah. Like, what's...
Like again, if you meet a girl called Stacy, right, and you go, they call me Stacy, they call me AJ, but, you know, like, she'd probably be sick of that. Like...
Stacy's mom has got it going on.
Yeah, that's really not one. Well, it's actually a few songs chasing out there, but even that's playing a little bit, like, too novelty. And I guess, like, both of those songs are examples of people that aren't Stacy. Like, this talk about the mom, and the other one is a song about someone who's, that's not their name. But anyway. So, yeah, but I think if it's, like, too obvious, it's probably bad, like if it's Jude, like, hey Jude and stuff, too obvious. But I think if it's sort of, like, slightly obscure but sweet, I think that's right on the money.
Yes, so you're saying if it's, like if you go up to someone named Lola and go, Lola, she loves cherry cola, like, nah, that's going to be played out. But if you're, like, you're, like, oh, yeah, like, Lola by the Lemon Tree, that B-side from Mumford & Sons, they're going to be like, oh, wow, I didn't know you, like, you were such a big fan that you also know their B-sides, because I also love Mumford & Sons. Like, what a coincidence.
I think what you want to hear is a song that they know because that's their name, right? So they're, like, a bit more aware of times their name is mentioned, but no one else has really ever brought up with them before.
Some 60s folk song that their mum sang to them as a child, but nobody else has ever heard of.
Yeah, you want to tap into something, like, you want to find that as some common bond that only you two share. Or, like, say, like, something from their childhood or something that you're tapping into, some nostalgia. But, yeah, you're wanting to try to, like, yeah, find a point of difference and a differentiation point when you meet someone, not tap into something that's a trope. Which I also find, like, when you meet sort of famous people, it's always great to mention something they're proud of that people don't usually bring up before.
It's like in Delocated, someone tries to assassinate John, and he's in, like, I know, like a Gap or like a Banana Republic or something, and the person that shoots at him misses and hits Paul Rudd, and John stands over Paul Rudd, and he is like, he was in I Love You Man. He was in Wet Hot American Summer. He was in an off-Broadway show called, like, Life's a Bitch or something. Like, he just starts listing all these, like, obscure stuff that, like, Paul Rudd was in.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. So, yeah, no, I think the way Baby has the extensive musical knowledge where it's sweet and a real home run.
So that, I think they managed to find this sort of ground, because they bond over music, they bond over sort of wanting to, like, get out of these kind of service jobs, and you know, I think that's the kind of cool thing, like, you know, the thought of, like, driving is you know, the freedom that it gives you, the escape, and they both want to escape from their current lives, and the thought of him being a driver is kind of really attractive to him, and so I like them. They're like, they're really kind of like cute duo.
Yeah, it's really interesting, like, touching on that, actually, that sort of for Baby, driving is sort of what is trapping him in this job he doesn't want to do, but it's also his sort of ticket to escape as well. Sort of represents his captivity and his freedom.
Yeah. So the reason why he's kind of...
I think that's, like, a deep observation by me. Like...
It's like... That 4 years of film school, like, paid off, like, now. on this podcast.
Just sit on that thought for a minute. The listeners really want to ponder that.
It's like...
Okay. Yeah, we can probably move on now.
He's like a bird in a cage, but it's like this new fancy cage which people come to look at in the pet store. So he's trapped in the cage, but if it wasn't inside this fancy new cage, nobody would looking at him, be interacting or feeding him at all. So it's like, yeah, it gets him, it prevents him from the freedom, but it brings him love as well. What a conundrum, yeah, for this bird in his cage.
Yes.
So we like them. Part of the, as you said, he is trapped. It's because we find out that he's indebted to Kevin Spacey. And
or he who shall not be named.
So it is interesting. It is interesting doing this podcast.
I was going to just avoid that character and actor. This podcast.
Just
you know, for a bit. Okay, so let's go.
Yeah. It is interesting doing this podcast now as opposed to, you know, if we'd have done this 2 months ago or whatever. Because, we, you know, there could have been this audio of us going, oh, Kevin Spacey, love Kevin Spacey, great actor, he's great in everything. Love everything he does. Big fan of everything Kevin Spacey does. And then
I wouldn't have said that, so...
I know, retroactively. I know in hindsight, I definitely wouldn't have said that. And then someone could have just clipped that audio from the podcast. It's like, Scream Verdict loves Kevin Spacey, question mark? Yeah, very, very different podcasting landscape 2 months on.
Yeah. We haven't discussed this, but, like, we will surely not be doing a House of Cards Season 6 podcast if Kevin Spacey's attached, correct?
I think Bonnie said yesterday that Netflix or House of Cards or whoever it is fired Kevin Spacey. So I don't think there is going to be another... If there is another season, he's not going to be in it. It's just going to be Robin Wright. Or they might have to cancel the show. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, I think they're discussing that now. But, like, I think Netflix said, look, if he's back, we're not back. And I think he got fired off the back of that. And, I think Screen Verdict has the same position of, I can speak for us, that if he's back, we will not be associated.
Yeah, not good. Not good. But, So, yes. But that, he's indebted to the, to he's him. He's a bad man. Kevin Spacey's a bad, he's a bad man.
Yeah.
And so that's why he needs to drive, because he's got to pay off this debt. But even once he pays off his debts, that's not how it works once you get involved in this sort of, you know, gang, mafia-type landscape. So he's got to find another way out.
It's too good at the driving. They need him to still do all the driving. He's the best getaway driver, so they're not going to give him up.
Yeah, it's... because it is, you know, that it's kind of interesting as an audience member, because when you see him doing the driving away from these, you know, robberies, you're rooting for him because we like Baby, but it's kind of conflicting because we're like, we don't really like the other people. You know, Kevin Spacey doesn't seem like a good guy. Jamie Foxx doesn't seem like a good guy. John Hamm and his wife actually seem to be a little bit more...
Yeah, I quite like them.
They're kind of more personable, and they're actually more kind of like accepting of Baby, and they go, oh, what happened to your ears? Oh, okay, you know, that's why you listen to the music. You've got tinnitus because you're in a crash. Oh, well, that's cool, man. You keep listening to you. Like, they were rather empathetic. So to see that character turn where John Hamm actually ends up coming for Baby I think was a great move, because it's a lot more of an interesting dynamic than if that had been with, you know, Jamie Foxx or someone else that we didn't particularly like from the start.
And I think, like, you bought it because his wife died, and that gave to this villain that just wanted to kill or hurt baby.
Yes, I thought. I guess...
It was a believable turn. It wasn't just a, hey, why did he become bad all of a sudden? It's like, oh yeah, I can buy why this character would have this change.
Yes. And so it was interesting because we're rooting for baby, even though, you know, we don't like the gangsters. We think, yeah, really, this is a crime. Like, you shouldn't be robbing banks and post offices, etc. But he's just got to do one more. He's just got to do one more and then he's out. And then when you realize he's not out, you're like, okay, how can he get out? How are we going to turn the tables? And so that was satisfying for an audience member to watch him go from those crimes to finding his way out of the crime gang.
Yeah, how funny, especially those opening bank robbery scenes, how funny is, and even one of the big chases a bit later on before Kevin Spacey before John Hamm, completely turns evil, the scenes of him just in the background running around with the gun. I just thought there's something really beautifully comedic about John Hamm robbing a bank with this, like, pop music playing, like, just like, there's sort of like a casualness to it that, like, really worked. A casualness, but also an energy to it that I really enjoyed.
I actually prefer John Hamm in comedy, to be honest.
He's funny. I really like John Hamm in comedy, too.
He is funny. So, yeah, was there anything else we wanted to point out about any of the characters, any particular moments that stood out for you?
There's the guy that lives with baby, the old guy that's sort of like, I guess, could you say adoptive father, like almost someone who's like raised him since his parents were out of the picture?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they revealed exactly how they met and how they formed that relationship, but that was great because he is... Is it deaf? Because like the babies learn how to speak in sign language, and even though he can't hear the music, he can put his hand against the speakers and kind of feel like the bass and the rhythm. So that was kind of cool. And so he was kind of like a good like moral guidance for baby. But it added kind of like another layer of like why baby was doing this, because a lot of that money he ended up giving to him. Like as much as I'm sure baby would like to have like a bit of extra money. He was more doing it to like get out of debt, and the money that he made, he actually gave away. So which is, I guess, more endeared as even further to his character.
Yeah. And I think baby, like what was really strong was, his care for this man, and also his relationship with the waitress, and how, I think he sort of conflicted, if memory serves, between being, like, about whether he's good for her or bad for her, right?
Yes.
And I think that's an interesting sort of, like, he wants to be with her, but he's not sure whether he should be with her, and that's sort of, yeah, an interesting dynamic to do.
Very cool.
Yeah, great characters. Oh, and the stuff with his mum is really sweet.
Yes. Yeah, you did really want him to get that tape back. That I think, did you say mom on it? One of his cassette tapes?
Yeah. And at that point, we didn't know why. Like, yeah. Until later in the film that we actually hear what is on the tape that says mom. And that is probably one of the most emotionally powerful. Like, I was really affected by that scene.
Yeah.
With him listening to the audio cassette tape with mom in it. Well, the mom one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a song I really like. I really like that song. I think I was singing it. It's funny. I was sort of humming that song to myself the like week before I saw the movie.
It's meant to be.
Yeah, it's meant to be. So, yeah. Anything else you want to talk about with the movie, Jonathan?
No, I think I'm ready to give it a verdict.
Well, I've got one more thing. Non-character thing.
Sure.
I loved the use of music in this film.
Yes.
How they edited around the music, and that was sort of quite different to what I've seen in any other film, how they use music.
Yes. I think I, in our Drive podcast, described the music as invasive, which sounds like a bad thing, but what I meant was that it just played such a role. It almost felt like a character. You know, it almost felt like you know, as important as, like, the setting, like the cinematography. And Baby Driver was like that, and more so. I really loved how they integrated it. Really helped set, like, a great tone. And it was really quite entertaining at points where I think he's kind of, like, you know, walking through the street. He's got a bit of a strut going. And there's graffiti on the wall. And as he walks past the graffiti, you notice that some of the graffiti is lyrics in the song. It, like, matches up as he walks past. And so there's little kind of, like, I don't know what do you want to call them, like Easter eggs or something. Some of them more obvious than others, but how that was integrated, I actually wish they had kind of kept that going. I know sort of the film takes like a more serious tone, or they want to kind of focus on the action as once it gets going. But yeah, I love that. I think they could have sprinkled even a couple more, because I thought it was great.
Yeah, because we've got the amazing car chase scenes, which really, I mean, cuts it in to match the music. And then you've got the slowest things, like him just walking back with a coffee, or him at the laundromat where the music, like, and it's just, you can see how deliberate each of the song choices were and how the film was sort of crafted around them. And I loved, and it worked so well. I loved it. And I love the audio. I love how, like, you know, audio cassette tapes is sort of the 80s, 90s technology is very in vogue at the moment. And, yeah, I love seeing them pop up too.
Awesome.
Last question.
Yeah, I've got to go in like 3 minutes, so.
Okay, last question. Was the opening car chase scene the greatest car chase you've ever seen in a movie?
Ooh, the greatest. That's, that's a good question. Probably Blues Brothers.
Yeah, okay, the Blues Brothers one is very good.
But it was up there. I really, really enjoyed it. Like, yeah. That hooked me in right away. I thought, okay, like, I'm enjoying this film.
I need to see the Blues Brothers one again. It is up there with the Blues Brothers one, though.
Yeah.
I think it's the same league.
Okay,
verdict. Jonathan takes away.
Verdict. Love the music. Love the story. Loved Baby. Just the whole tone of it, just really kind of sucked me in. I really bought into the world of Baby Driver. I thought it was paced well. The action was great. The relationship between the characters was really interesting. There isn't really much to fault other than, you know, the second half, maybe towards the end, it kind of just plays out like a... Not in necessarily in a predictable manner, but perhaps in a less original manner. Just it felt like a little bit like a regular heist movie, action movie, but still a good one. But all the other qualities had totally shone through throughout the majority of the film, and I really enjoyed it. I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10.
Well, I thought. The characters in this film were good, particularly Baby and the waitress. And what's her name again?
Deborah.
Baby and Deborah. I thought they were fantastic. This was it was such a fun, exciting, intense film to watch, but also a really moving film. That I think got the real fast-paced stuff right, but also the really slow-paced relational sort of stuff right too. I think because everything came together in this film, like, brilliantly. And I just thought, like, I was just the whole time enjoying the film or captivated by the film. The music was great. The characters were interesting. The performances were good. And it made me excited, and it made me sad, and it made me happy, and it made me scared, and all those sorts of things. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
We Moonrise Kingdomed.
And I'd probably say I prefer Moonrise Kingdom, but they're close.
I totally didn't plan that. That was a complete coincidence. So that's funny that you we did end up giving it the same scores. Well, there you go. That's a very well reviewed film. A combined 17.5 usually has a pretty good shot at winning the SV. So, yeah.
And, like, it'd be on track for a nomination, I think, at least, but we don't know what the standard of film's going to be this year.
Yeah. We got a Pixar original on the horizon. Yeah. That's not one of them crappy sequels. well, there you go. I got to run, but Baby Driver, I think this was worth doing, even though it was a little bit late. That was a fun podcast.
Yeah, that was a fun
job. We hope you guys enjoyed listening to it. We've got a couple things in the works. Definitely be recording more podcasts soon, which we hope you tune into as well. If you have any ideas, let us know. Facebook.com/Screen Verdict Podcast. We always know what you're interested in. And until then, we'll catch you next week.